99.9 Live FM. That was, who was that? That was Elbow with Open Arms. Coming up this hour, a little bit later on, we've got Switchfoot. Third Day is in there as well. Now, I have been promising you all morning, he's a little bit controversial. Love him or hate him. I think he does a fantastic job. I have got Daniel Nalaya in the studio from Catch the Fire Ministries and, of course, the Rise Up Australia Party. How are you going today, Daniel?
Very good, Michelle, and it's good to be in the studio in person this time around.
Yes.
And I always joke saying that my middle initial is C, and that stands for controversial.
Excellent, excellent. I like it. It's very, very good. I must say, actually, I recently read your book, Worship Under the Sword. That affected me quite a lot. You've been here this week doing Catch the Fire meetings. Is that correct?
Pretty very much, yes. And also, by and by, we were also carrying out quite a reconciliation mission on Palm Island with Indigenous leaders.
Excellent.
So I had 20 people from my team from Melbourne with me up here in Townsville. We went down on the ferry to Palm Island, and we had some fantastic meetings there with the Indigenous elders, yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent, excellent. Now, what I want to talk to you about today specifically is multiculturalism. Now, you are obviously not Australian born and bred. Your accent gives you away. I'm not Australian born and bred. My accent gives me away. So we've both come here from other places. What is your take on multiculturalism?
Well, what's interesting is one of the first interviews I did was with another radio station called SBS, and SBS basically asked me the question. They said, you're just another racist political party because I happened to say keep Australia Australian. And I turned around and told the guy, I said, listen, if you could see my color, you possibly would not say that because I'm a black fellow from Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And I said, multiculturalism was created for people like myself. However, one of the things that I read a while ago was a statement from, I think it was President Kennedy, who said, ask not what your country can do for you, do what you can do for your country.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those fellows who came into Australia with a focus of enlarging my boundaries and, you know, having a good life for the family and so on.
Yeah.
I enjoyed multiculturalism for the first 2-3 years when I soon realized that the very thing that I'm enjoying today, that was 13, 15, 14 years ago, could be a disaster, a recipe for disaster for the rest of the country and for Australia.
Yeah.
And I went into study multiculturalism and I found out three things you got to understand. One of the things is there is one word could make a big difference. Nazism was one word used as a gateway through which millions died.
Yeah.
Communism was another word used, which was a gateway, millions died. Multiculturalism is a recipe for disaster throughout the West.
Yeah.
Just by and by, I happened to write the word down, and I found that the first 9 letters spell out actually multicult.
Yes.
That's interesting. Anyway, so the ism is a concern because multiculturalism means include all different cultures and combine it together, similar to interfaith. And as I studied it, I realized that all cultures really cannot fit into the Australian way of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Particularly after living in Saudi Arabia, studying the Quran, living 40 minutes from Mecca, I was almost beheaded in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I realized that Islam, for Islam, culture is culture, religion, and law.
Yeah.
So if we're embracing Islamic, the multiculturalism, we got to embrace Islamic Sharia law.
Yeah.
Women have only 50% of the rights of a man, which I personally don't agree about.
Yeah.
4 wives for a man, which is not right. Then a young girl could be, you know, female genital mutilation, which is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But these are part of their culture.
Yeah.
And I said, hold on. If we're embracing culture, we are going to embrace something which is not going to be good for our nation. So what do we do? Multi-ethnic is the best word to be used because ethnicity means my country of birth.
Yeah.
I can't change. Now, do we oppose Italian pizza? No, we love it. Do we like Lebanese roti? We love it.
Yeah.
Do you like Sri Lankan curry? I think you got to eat it because you catch the fire. You know?
Very good.
So you enjoy all the food and all those things. That's great.
Yeah.
But when you cross the line and say, hold on, I want a separate legal system in this country for me.
Yes.
That's when you got to put your foot down and say multiculturalism is not working. So let's examine Europe. France, today there are 754 Islamic Sharia zones where a person who is white cannot walk on the streets, they get beaten up.
Yep.
Germany is soon turning into disaster, recipe for disaster. Yeah. German police cannot patrol some of the suburbs because they are not welcome, because they are considered infidels.
Yeah.
So German Chancellor Angela Merkel basically said multiculturalism has failed. Chakosi said multiculturalism has failed from France, the former president.
Yeah.
Angela Merkel, without telling the German officers to enter those homes by force, that's what you should be doing, Instead, they're recruiting Muslim police officers from Turkey to patrol the streets where the Muslims live.
Yeah, yeah.
David Cameron from England made the same statement, multiculturalism has failed Great Britain.
Yeah.
So why embrace something which is a failure in the Western world?
Yeah.
And my question is, we got to go multi-ethnic.
Yeah.
Not multicultural.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And, you know, we've seen some horrendous things in Europe recently, you know, over the last couple of years. And we are heading down that same path. Now, I just want to just give you a chance to because I mean I've spoken out about those things before, and I've been called racist and you know I'm supposed to love everybody and everything like that, and I'm one of the most non-racist people that you'll meet. Firstly, we won't get into it, but obviously Islam's not a race, it's, you know, so whenever I see people over at Aiken Vale or at the airport, you know, and they're obviously different, you know, I always smile, I always say hello, you know, I would hate to be in a minority what could be perceived as an unfriendly situation. But so you don't hate Muslims, do you?
Well, on the contrary, what we as a policy in the party, we encourage most of our members, or all of us, to embrace people who come into this country, because isolating a community is the worst thing, a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So we make great efforts to embrace. In fact, I personally have been involved in resettling refugees as they come out of Christmas Island.
Excellent.
Finding them accommodation, jobs, furniture and stuff like that for their home.
Yeah.
But the fact remains is we got to draw a line somewhere, and this is important. So we took the challenge of saying, last election, our first campaign for Rise Up Australia Party, we ran 93 candidates across the country, 77 for the lower house and 16 for the upper house. With me in the studio is Nino, who stood as a candidate for Herbert.
Yep.
And across the nation, we were able to have a great impact by preferencing certain parties according to the values that we stood for. We didn't go with a particular political party.
Yeah.
But candidate by candidate, we watched where their preferences went, what they stood for, and we preferenced them. And thus, we have been successful in implementing certain changes in the federal parliament.
Excellent.
Towards multiculturalism. And if I could quickly share that with you, because we had a meeting with three of the Liberal Party leaders in the city of Melbourne, three meetings, and in these meetings it was discussed about multiculturalism, and I brought it to the attention of immigration department. It's called Immigration and Multicultural Affairs, and that's not good.
Yeah.
Because if your immigration policy is driven by multiculturalism, Mohammed, who applies for a family class visa to come over to Australia, could migrate with four wives and 20 children.
Yes, yeah.
And then Centrelink makes payments for all the wives because it's multicultural. And then they said, oh, that can't be happening. No, it is happening. It was on Today Tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
The CEO of Centrelink was interviewed and he turned around and he said, yes, we need to respect their culture. Mm-hmm. So we do make payments for three or four wives if they're married to three or four wives, because that's Islam, that's culture. So multicultural, we embrace the culture. Mm-hmm. The good news is, since the new government came into office, in the first week, the Minister for Multicultural Affairs portfolio was abolished. So there is no Minister for Multicultural Affairs in the Federal Parliament now.
Yeah.
The former Minister, Kate Lundy, was pretty annoyed about it. And she happened to make a statement as she was going out. She said, all the good work done within 1 week, Tony Abbott has destroyed it. I think, no, it's quite the contrary to that.
Yeah.
It's really good to protect our borders. So number two, Immigration Department was renamed from Immigration and Multicultural Affairs to Immigration and Border Protection.
Excellent.
Which is a fantastic news. Again, that was something we spoke of.
Yeah.
Number three, the issue we took up with them was freedom of speech. As I think people recognize me as a man who has championed the cause for freedom of speech because I fought a 5-year court battle for freedom of speech in the state of Victoria.
Yeah.
Everyone knew the case as the two pastors court case for freedom. And we won the court case in Supreme Court after 5 years.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's creating history.
Yeah.
And so that was emphasized, and the good news is they are now appointed Tim Wilson, who is the commissioner for the Human Rights Commission, appointed as chairman. And Tim Wilson has promised, and he is quite a campaigner for freedom of speech, that he will remove every clause which restricts freedom of speech and give Australians the right to freedom of speech, which is great news.
Amen. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, I'm going to pause you there. Have you got a pause button?
Yep.
Okay, lovely. I'll pause you there. We'll listen to some music. And when we come back, we'll just talk a little bit more about what freedom of speech entails and, you know, freedom for other religions to worship here, basically, or how that affects us as Christians. Is that okay?
Yep, that's right.
Fantastic. You're listening to 99.9 Live FM.
when you do anything to take it back,
Live FM. That was Switchfoot there with Love Alone is Worth the Fight. And I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you, Daniel?
Sure.
Absolutely. If you've just joined us, good afternoon to you. My name's Michelle, and I have got Daniel Nalaya in the studio at the moment. He's the president of the Catch the Fire Ministries and also the leader of the Rise Up Australia Party, and among lots of other things as well. We were just going to start to talk about freedom of speech and why that's important and what that actually means. And there's been some precedents set by you. What would you like to enlighten the viewers? Thank goodness no one's watching us. I haven't done my hair today. But would you like to enlighten the listeners about freedom of speech and why it's important to us?
Yeah, also touching on the point of love, one of the things that I always state is I do not approve of Nazism, but I love the Germans. I don't approve of communism, but I love the Russians. I don't approve of Islam, but I love the Muslims. Because as a Christian minister, for me, if I can't love somebody, then I can't do what I'm doing, you know.
Yes.
So, but having said that, freedom of speech is very important, particularly when a legislation is passed in a state which restricts you on subjective offense. What happens then is, if someone happens to hear me, for example, I happen to tell someone Jesus is the only way to heaven, which is a statement that every Christian believes. If someone heard me, overhears that conversation in a restaurant, that person has the right to sue me based on the fact that they had another belief system and I have hurt their feelings. Now, according to the Westminster's Code, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. Under this law, you're guilty until you prove yourself innocent.
Right.
So the onus is not on the accuser, but on the accused. So I was accused of vilifying Muslims, for which we had actually quoted verses directly from the Quran. And so we had a court case which went on for a period of 5 years. We had to raise $600,000 to raise our defense. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember the Islamic Council's president telling me something like this in the courtroom. He said, just apologize and back off. If not, I'll make you pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I said, Mr. Yasser Suleiman, I don't apologize for speaking the truth. Yeah. I lived under Sharia law. I'm not willing to let that happen in Australia.
We're
a free democracy and we stand for freedom of speech. Just for your information, I said, I know a man who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He thought that I was talking about some farmers in Australia, you know. And we paid the $600,000. People just contributed.
Fantastic.
It was not a Christian battle.
Yeah.
It was a battle for freedom of speech for every single Australian who values freedom of speech.
Exactly.
So we fought the defense, we lost the case in the lower court, appealed in Supreme Court, and we won in Supreme Court. All three judges unanimously agreed that it was our right to criticize another religion. Because three things were agreed upon, and we concluded with this. On 2007, 22nd June, my wife gave birth to our third child after 15 years. On that same day, the court case ended. And the agreement was, they had to sign to it, that they value freedom of speech as a fundamental value in Australia, the right to criticize another religion, and to say, my religion is better than yours. You have the right, I have the right. And they agreed to that, which is not the Quran's regulation normally. It says you can't criticize the Quran.
You've
got to be killed. So anyway, it was an interesting battle in court. I was threatened several times with death. I was told that my house will be firebombed, my office will be firebombed. Then I was told to back off, if not my children will be kidnapped. And I'm thinking, come on.
Goodness me.
I lived in Saudi Arabia, now I'm in Australia and I'm getting death threats. Well, I thank God that we stood our ground, I'm still alive. Twice I was to be executed in Saudi Arabia and God just protected me miraculously. So I know that I'm still called to continue to stand up and keep doing what I'm doing. But one of the saddest thing is you find that many people in leadership today tell their congregation, and they too do not speak out. Hitler's Nazi Germany, because the church went on mute, suffered the consequences of not speaking out. After everything happened, many ministers declared we should have spoken out, but it was too late. My challenge to the church is, we are the only entity which can keep our voice straight and strong to protect Australia, not just for the Christians, including for the Muslims, for everyone, even the atheists, the agnostic.
Exactly.
All have the right to have their beliefs. That's a democracy.
Exactly.
But not at the cost of Christians being victimized and, you know, pushed aside. So it's time to talk. It's time to stand up. Subjective offense should not be an offense.
Yeah.
If it's objective, then you can understand, but subjective, how do you measure a subjective offense?
Yeah.
So we thank God the law was changed, but also with the current government, with the appointment of Tim Wilson and the piece of legislation going to be amended, we could stand, sit here and say, Rise Up Australia Party was the only political party which ran on a mandate to abolish multiculturalism to keep Australia Australian. And we have been successful in achieving that in the last election.
No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. It's excellent. And like you say, it is important. I mean, just being quiet, but just being silent. I had this out with somebody the other day, you know, and it gets back to that old adage of evil can only prevail when good people don't do nothing. So being silent about these issues it is not really coming from a place of love. You know, we need to educate each other. We need to, you know, speak about things. Just want to touch briefly, because we are running out of time, you know, on the halal issue. Now, that's something that I have found in my personal experience that I'm not allowed to speak about because it offends Christian people that I would be suggesting that there is anything wrong with halal. Now, 2%, I think, of the population in Australia are Muslim, and yet when we go and buy our groceries now from the supermarket, butchers and ever, Kraft is a massive company that have just not just gone halal, but are halal, and it's a lot more than meat. And people say, you know, oh well, you know, it doesn't matter and all the rest of it. But why are Sikhs and Hindus and Christians being subjected to having to consume this food that has been slaughtered and prayed over by Muslim people? What can we do about that, Daniel? I mean, why can't these things be labelled so that the consumers have knowledge of what they're buying? And why can't we talk about it? As you say, we live in a country where we've got freedom of speech.
That's correct. Well, I think this is really, really sad. I mean, I lived in Saudi Arabia, so I was forced to eat halal food. There was no question because it is an Islamic country. But having said that, we live in Australia right now, and the fact that we are paying to spread Islam makes me really sad, because Islam, unfortunately, unlike the Buddhism or Hinduism or Christianity, is a religion which does not promote peace. It does promote violence. Because Prophet Muhammad himself carried out several wars, personally killed so many people, and had 13 wives. One was 6 years old, and he consummated the marriage at 9. Not a very good role model. Now, to think that we are paying money for the spread of Islam makes me really sad. Because a large part of that money, it's been proven through different departments that it is going to the funding of terrorist groups too. So the question needs to be asked, why should the Australian who is not a Muslim be subjected to such attacks? It's in other words, it's like the Jassia attacks by stealth being placed upon the Australian people. So that has to be, I don't know, it's
and,
a mess.
And the other thing I think that people miss sometimes is the fact that in order to keep the food halal, you can't be an unclean person working in an abattoir. You can't, you know, gradually industries get taken over. It, like you say, it is stealthy. It starts off with one thing, but the repercussions are so great. You know, so we've got to wind it up in a minute. But what can people do about a situation like that? Should we be writing to people, or, you know, what should we be asking for?
One of the things I'm finding out right now is more and more fast food restaurants are beginning to call themselves halal meat, halal products. I would strongly call on people to boycott those places, not to visit them. If there's a KFC or Hungry Jack's or anyone goes halal, make it clear, go there, make it clear that, you know, you're not going to buy your products there anymore because it's halal. And then also start writing, start protesting, be a voice, don't give up. I mean, let's look at different lobby groups, which less than 2% of people, how come they've been so successful? Because they don't give up.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, the church, we have become so apathetic, so complacent.
And politically correct.
Politically correct, we are treated like wimps. And I think it's time for us to stand up. And be not politically correct, but stand up and have some guts to stand up and say, hold on. If you come to Australia, embrace our way of life. This country was built on Judeo-Christian values. You like it or not, that's what it is. If you find it difficult to live here, if you want your products and your Sharia law, go back to where you came from. Or pastor, but you can't say that you're not Christian. hold on, yeah. I'm a very good Christian.
Yes.
Because I love people. I'm telling them, protect your nation.
Yes.
Let Australia be kept Australian for generations to come.
Yeah. Fantastic. Excellent. Okay, well, we're going to have to wind it up there. One more thing, though. How can people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about what you've said today?
If you want to find out about the political party, you can go on riseupaustraliaparty.com, which is our party website.
Yeah.
Or if you want to find out about the ministry, that's catchthefire.com.au.
Fantastic. Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
God bless you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
The time right now is 20 to 1. You're listening to 99.9 Live FM.